All right, welcome to the Wednesday evening rewind on Street Level Radio. This is a rewind of the Sunday service from our Believer City Church here in Menominee. My name is Ben. I'm one of the pastors here, and tonight we'll be covering the story of Joseph from Genesis chapters 40 and 41. Let me pray. We can get started kind of recapping the story, and then we'll play back some of the clips from the service on Sunday. All this, of course, is leading into the community discussion groups that we have set up throughout the Menominee area. There's a couple of groups that meet here in Menominee and others in the towns surrounding, Durand, Eau Claire, Colfax, Woodville, and so on. If you're out there listening on the radio, or if you're streaming this online, you can certainly join one of those groups, wherever you're closest to. Just go to our website. You can see the information there. And if you're a one-time visitor or just want to come check it out, the Blind Munchies here in Menominee is the best place to get started. So we'd love to have you. And certainly these discussions are a very important part of what we're trying to do here as a church. It gives each a chance participate in the discussion about what we're learning, about what God is teaching us, about how we're able to apply, how we can even start to try to apply these things to our lives. So let's pray, and then we'll do all the things that I just described. So let's pray. Father, you're so good to us. Thanks for being our God. Thanks for giving us your word. Thanks for giving us your Son. Help us to honor you in the way that we live. Help us to learn from you in the way that we should live, in the examples you've left behind of other godly believers and how they followed you through and through to the very end. The story that we're reading tonight, Joseph followed you through ups and he followed you through downs. And I pray that that would be true of us as well. So please use this time. Please use this story to affect our lives in a way that glorifies you and it grows us up into the mature men and women that you'd like us to be. Thanks for being so faithful to us. Help us to focus in now and help us to honor and glorify you and help each other through these discussions. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's do a little context, set a little context for our story so we're not jumping in just to the middle of it, in case you weren't there on Sunday or in case you forgot, because that was 3 days ago. But Joseph is one of the 12 sons of a guy named Jacob. Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob, and this was to his own peril, actually. Joseph got a sweet coat from his father for his 17th birthday, and all of his brothers hated him for it. It didn't help that Joseph bragged about it. It didn't help that Joseph was starting to have dreams that he would one day rule over his brothers. All of this led to his brothers selling Joseph into slavery in Egypt. They faked Joseph's death and told their father that Joseph had been eaten by a wild animal, and then they sold him into slavery to make money for themselves and to ease their consciences. And this is prior to chapter 39, some of the initial stories about Joseph in the book of Genesis. We get to chapter 39. Joseph is now working as a slave in a guy named Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife has a thing for him, and so she makes the sexual advances toward Joseph. He refuses. Apparently, he's still godly. He still wants to do what's right, and he doesn't want his master to be dishonored by him, you know, returning the advances on Potiphar's wife, and so he refuses. She gets embarrassed or frustrated or angry, and she accuses him of sexual assault, as if he was the one that tried to initiate this. All of this leads to Joseph going to prison for a crime that he did not commit. And so Joseph is in prison. That's where we start in chapter 40, and that's tonight. He's in prison for an unknown amount of time, but as he's in prison, God is still with him there. It's not as if God has left him. God is still causing him to have success in prison. So when Joseph was in slavery, he apparently was a good worker, a smart guy, a capable man, and his master put him in charge of the whole household. Well, he goes into prison now for, again, being falsely accused of this crime. And God gives him and continues to give him a reputation of somebody who's very capable, very wise, and able to lead people. And so the prison warden puts Joseph in charge of all the people in prison. Whatever work that they're doing, wherever they're supposed to be responsible for, he's now responsible for them. So God is blessing him while he's in prison, even though he's at an even lower low. You know, first he was kicked out of his own family, then he was a slave. Now he's even lower than that. He's in prison. His whole life has been taken away. But God is still working in him. God is still working through him. And so in the middle of chapter 40, there's two prisoners. Both of them used to be servants of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's basically the most powerful man on earth at this point in time. These two other prisoners were put in prison because Pharaoh thought they were trying to kill him. Well, these guys both have dreams. Joseph is able to interpret those dreams, and what Joseph interprets actually ends up coming true. And Joseph didn't take credit for this himself. He actually gave all the credit to God the whole time. But those things come true, and that leads to one of the prisoners being restored back to his position serving the Pharaoh, and the other one, it leads to his death. Okay, now Joseph's hope in all this in chapter 40 was that he might get let out of prison once Pharaoh sees that he is innocent of his crime. That doesn't happen. The prisoner who gets let out forgets all about Joseph, and he then spends two more years in prison for the crime he hadn't committed. So whatever hope Joseph had, you know, at least seemingly it was dashed in this moment. But I don't think Joseph was hoping in his circumstances. He was hoping in God. He was trusting God that whatever outcome to Joseph's life there would be, that God would lead him into that eventually. And so part of knowing God's will, part of walking in God's will, includes walking in God's timing. And for Joseph, that meant a few more years of the lowest of lows. Well, 2 years later, the Pharaoh himself has a dream. The prisoner who got out, and previously Joseph had interpreted his dream favorably, he now remembers. And he tells Pharaoh, I know a guy who can interpret your dream for you. Joseph does all this. Apparently there's a big famine that's coming to the land. With a little bit of pre-planning, they can all survive. So Joseph tells Pharaoh what's going to happen. He also gives Pharaoh a plan of attack for how to take on the famine, how to navigate this difficulty that's coming. And once again, we see that Joseph gives all credit to God. When Pharaoh asks him to interpret the dream, Joseph says, it's impossible for me, but God can do this, and God will do this. So let me explain. God uses Joseph in the life of a non-believer, in the life of a pretty evil guy, actually. Pharaoh was not a good guy. But he's going to use Joseph to basically save the entire world as Pharaoh elevates Joseph into this position of prominence to execute this famine planning strategy that they're going to come up with. And again, we get to the end of chapter 41, and that's where most of this stuff with the Pharaoh comes into play. And we see that Joseph is faithful to God, whether things are going well, or faithful to God, whether things are going poorly. Okay, his whole life was taken away, and yet he waited patiently. He waited for God to renew him, to bring him to wherever he was going to bring him. And if that was prison, apparently Joseph was okay with it. God was with him the whole time. That's enough for Joseph. If it's going to be out of prison, whether he's the second in charge in the land of Egypt, Joseph's still going to be thankful to God. He's not going to leave God behind. He's not going to try and leave God in prison and move on with this new life now that he's finally gotten out of the plan that God had put him in. It wasn't anything like that. And so in the life of Joseph, we see this example of a guy who's able to ride the highs of life and the lows of life without giving up on God. Okay, and that's the example that he has. He's faithful. Joseph's a faithful guy the whole time. Well, we'll move over into replaying some of the sermon from Sunday. That's the context of our story. Hope you guys have a good discussion out there in whatever location you're at. Certainly, pray that you'd be open with each other, honest with where you're at today. And I pray that God's Spirit would direct you into the next steps in your life based on what he's telling you right now, through this story, through last week's story, and whatever God's doing in your life through your own personal Bible reading and prayer. I pray that you would step forward into that. So have a good evening, guys, and we'll see you all on Sunday. God bless.
Don't let that worry you, but if you get a chance to be free, take it. And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, you are now free in the Lord. And if you were free when the Lord called you, you are now a slave of Christ. God paid a high price for you, so don't be enslaved by the world. Each of you, dear brothers and sisters, should remain as you were when God first called you. Okay, now this is talking about when you become a Christian. It's not wrong to seek to make changes to life, but he's saying don't be in a hurry to do so. Let the Lord direct your path into what he wants. If you are a slave when you become a Christian, don't seek and rush to get out of it as if you need to get out of it. You're now free in God. And whether you're a slave by profession, so be it. He says if you can get the opportunity to get out of it, well, take it. Okay, so it's not wrong for Joseph here to try and get out of jail. It's not wrong that that's his hope. But he needs to trust the Lord in this. And that's what that principle is saying. You've got to trust where God has you. Don't seek to get out of it. Don't seek better, air quote, circumstances. Seek what God has for your life. Okay? It's really dangerous to put our hope in our circumstances. This is a huge pitfall for all of us, to put our hope in our actual circumstances, the results of what we want to have happen. And we don't know if Joseph did this, but certainly we can imagine times where our hope was more in the outcome that we wanted than it was in the God who's working all things together for good. God works for good according to his plan, okay? Not according to our individual personal plan. I'm not saying he doesn't bless us and give us things that we want and move us in ways based on our desires and the things we're striving for, but our hope can't be that we get exactly what we want. Our hope has to be that a God loves us, that our God loves us, and he's wanting to work all things according to his master plan. And that's our hope. Okay, if we put our hope in the results, that's certainly going to lead to disappointment, isn't it? Okay, if things don't turn out the way we expected, guess what? Automatic disappointment. It's going to lead to worry in the meantime, isn't it? Okay, if my hope is in the thing turning out the way I want, I'm going to worry the entire time as to whether that's going to come true or not. It's going to lead to bitterness when it doesn't come true. Not just disappointment, but bitterness. God, why? Why won't you do for me the things that I thought you were going to do? God wants us to put our hope in him. Trust in him. And it's easy to get distracted by the circumstances as if they're, you know, the proof that God's with us and for us. But we don't always know what God's doing. We don't always know when he's going to do it. We don't always know what he's going to do. Therefore, we have to put our trust in him, not in the results, not in the outcomes, not in the circumstances being what we want. If our hope is in God, we'll maintain a thankfulness, because whether it's good or bad for us, again, there's a God who's paying attention to us and walking through every step of this with us. There'll be a continued hope. He knows what he's doing, even if I don't. I can still have hope in God, even if things aren't working out. It tells us how to deal with your disappointments. And there's ways that the Word of God tells us of how to live as a Christian. I want to contrast those two things briefly. And I think Joseph's a good example for us. We're reading into his story a little bit here, but as we get to the end, we can see he's trusting God through and through. He doesn't waver. He doesn't give up on his hope in God and then look to the Egyptian gods or look to some, you know, other way to live his life. He doesn't develop coping mechanisms, which essentially the worldly ways are. So let's just contrast a few of those as we start to bring this to a close. The world will tell us to focus on the positives. Okay, you have a disappointment, something doesn't work out. Well, why don't you focus on the things in life that are good, that are going well? Okay, focus on the things you can control. The world would say, there are some things in your life, just be thankful for those, don't worry about the bad things. Just think about the good stuff instead. That's not what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're not looking at the scale of our life and saying, well, I know some's bad, but some's good, so I'll just focus on the good stuff. That's not what we're supposed to do at all. We're supposed to focus on God. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me read from there. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. That's following Hebrews chapter 11, which details all the people in the Old Testament, including Joseph, who looked ahead to the future, to what God was doing. They kept their focus on God, and they endured all sorts of difficulty. As Christians, we're supposed to keep our focus on God. We're supposed to remove our eyesight from the circumstances, and we're supposed to keep it looking at God, what he's doing, and who he is, and how we fit into that plan. We're not supposed to look at the results and determine whether we're going the right direction based on what's good and bad. We're not supposed to do a cost-benefit analysis of our life and say, okay, enough good's happening to me. I guess that puts me in the middle of an okay life. At least it's acceptable. Let me just look at the good things. I'll count my blessings and call it good enough. Your eyes are still in the wrong place. It's a coping mechanism. Okay, we're supposed to trust God and look to him through the ups and through the downs. The world will say, set yourself some small goals. Win back some of that self-esteem you lost. Set some attainable goals. Give yourself a sense of purpose. Accomplish those goals. You'll feel better about yourself. And you'll get back on track. Basically, it's saying start back at the beginning. Set up, you know, a base level existence and restart in a spot where you can actually get some wins. And then you'll feel better about yourself. And then you can start moving forward. As a Christian, we know that the race doesn't end. We don't get to restart at the beginning. It's not Nintendo. When you die, you start over. This race never ends. We're in the middle of it already. We don't get to start back at the beginning. And so as Christians, we're not supposed to just start over, erase the board, rebuild from the beginning. We're supposed to press on. Get up if that's what it takes, but we're supposed to press onward. Let me read from Philippians chapter 3. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. The coping mechanism is, okay, let me just go to my second act in life. Or let me go to my third act in life. Let me start over. I'll restart from the beginning. I'll build my life into what I really want it to be. Okay, I might modify it. I might lower my expectations. God says you're in process, you're in the middle of a race, you just got to get up, even if it means moving forward with a flat tire or two, even if it means you don't have time to, you know, put a Band-Aid on your scraped knee. Press on to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't start over. Don't forget about all the progress that you've made. Don't scrap it all. And I think that's a temptation. Sometimes we just want to say, okay, it's not going well for me now. I need to do something to make it better. I'm not only going to get rid of the bad stuff, I'm going to get rid of the good stuff too. We lose our footing, we lose our place, and we go all the way back to the starting line. By our own choosing, you know, at least by our perceived own choosing, and we give up on all the things God has already done in our life. That's what I'm trying to say here. We give up on the things that God has already built into our life. Okay, and that's not the way that we're supposed to go. That's not a good way to deal with the disappointments in life. Another one the world tells us is lower your expectations. Now, this wasn't always wrong. This one isn't always wrong. Sometimes our expectations for what we think God's going to do are just wrong. But I wouldn't say we lower them. I just think we repent of them. And we change them to match what we think God wants us to do. Okay, the world says, lower your expectations. So you wanted to be an astronaut? That's fine. Why don't you just try to be a bus driver? Okay, just you're still operating heavy machinery. You're still flying or driving people around. As a Christian, we're supposed to hold on to our expectations, not give them up. We don't lower our expectation of what God wants or what God does or who God is. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. We still have to believe in a God who is able to act in our life beyond what our imagination allows us to think. And so we don't lower our expectations to help, you know, qualm some of our disappointments. We keep them high. We just continue to trust God that he's there. Another verse we could throw out this one is, he gets out of jail, or he will get out of jail. Okay, he's got a wife, he's got kids, he seems to still be praising the Lord. Is this a happy ending? Okay, well, up till now he spent 13 years in Egypt, and guess what? The Pharaoh just gave him another 14-year sentence to stay in Egypt. Is this a happy ending? I think you can say it is if you say that God's plan is going to come about and God's people are going to faithfully serve and follow him. This is success only because Joseph obeys God and stays faithful to God in both the bad times and the good times. In the bad times, it's easy to think God has left. In the good times, it's easy to forget about God. Oh, I must have done something really to deserve this. Or now that I got this, the good stuff, I guess I don't need to continue trusting in God. This is only success because Joseph faithfully obeyed and because God's plan came about through him.